This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson again today. I do trust the program encourages you and challenges you and blesses you. And again, if you would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. BDC Ministries is lowercase, all one word, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address. It's given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. It can also be downloaded to your computer and passed on as an attachment to others. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we would love to hear from you. If you have comments or prayer requests, we would take them seriously. So we trust that you'll be in touch with us, just as we try to be in touch with you in these programs on Sunday morning. Now, today is going to be the program for Easter Sunday. Many of you are going to be in a church environment and will not be hearing this program. But if you are at home, I want to spend a little time thinking about one word, and that one word is unbelievable. We've been looking at words that characterize the gospel and characterize the Lord this year. We've looked at words like beginnings and warnings and worry and hope and faith and lost, and the word saved and grace. And we've looked at the idea of things that are new, and we've looked at prophecy that has been fulfilled. We've looked at the word prophecy. And now I want to look at the word unbelievable, because my question is, do we really believe that the Lord was raised from the dead? Paul seems to make that a cornerstone truth of the gospel. And so I'm thinking particularly today of a song that we used to sing. It's an older song that perhaps will strike a chord with you. And I'm going to quote the words. I don't want you to leave me by being offended by my singing, so I'm just going to quote the words. And it goes like this: "We saw thee not when thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death, nor e'er beheld thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. We did not see thee lifted high amid that wild and savage crew, nor heard thy meek imploring cry, 'Forgive. They know not what they do.' Yet we believe that deed was done which shook the earth and veiled the sun. We stood not by the empty tomb where late thy sacred body lay, nor sat within that upper room, nor met thee in the open way. But we believe. The angel said, 'Why seek the living with the dead?' We did not mark the chosen few when thou didst through the clouds ascend, first lift to heaven their wandering view, then to the earth all prostrate bend. Yet we believe that mortal eyes beheld that journey to the skies. And now that thou dost reign on high, and thence thy waiting people bless, no ray of glory from the sky doth shine upon our wilderness. But we believe thy faithful word, and trust in our redeeming Lord. But we believe." That can be said of every true Christian. We believe thy faithful word and trust in our redeeming Lord. And while the matter of the resurrection is difficult to believe, because none of us living today have seen a literal resurrection, as far as I know, yet the Bible records several of them, and the one that's most important is the one when the Lord was raised 3 days after he died. 3 days, and we won't go into how they mark days, but dying on Friday and being raised on Sunday, he was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, and he appeared to his disciples to show to them that he had been raised from the dead, but even the disciples had difficulty believing that the Lord had been raised from the dead. Paul, when he's giving his testimony to King Agrippa in Acts 26, he asks this question, "Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead?" And yet when we talk about that, we believe that God should be able to raise the dead, but it was difficult for the disciples to believe that that was going to happen to the Lord, and it was difficult for the women who came to the tomb to believe that the Lord had been raised from the dead. They thought they had taken away his body, he had stolen away his body, and had put it someplace else when they found an empty tomb. And yet the Lord had predicted that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale or the great fish, so would the Lord be 3 days and three nights in the bowels of the earth. And he was indicating that just as Jonah had been regurgitated from that whale's belly and had been spit out on dry ground, it was a picture of the resurrection of the Lord, and the Lord was raised from the dead. But the early apostles had trouble believing it. So if you have trouble believing this, you need to believe it just simply because God says it and because it's a cornerstone truth of the gospel. But if you have trouble believing it, you're in good company. Mark 16 and verse 9 says, "Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. They were still sorrowing over his death and that he hadn't become the king that was going to liberate them from the Roman rulers. And so they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe." It wasn't that they wouldn't have liked to have believed. It was something that was unbelievable as far as they were concerned. And then we read about two that were traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus after the crucifixion and after the resurrection. And the Lord drew near and went with them. And as he explained to them the things in the scripture concerning himself, he said to them, "O foolish ones," he's talking to these two, very direct statement, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And of course, later on, he was revealed to them in the breaking of bread in their home, and then they went and told the apostles that they had seen the risen Lord. So we see that people had trouble, even those who had accompanied with him, had trouble believing that he had been raised from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul deals with this issue because he says, "For I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures," the Old Testament Scriptures, "was buried to prove that he died, was buried, and was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures," according to the prophecies of the Old Testament Scriptures. And so, as he deals with that fundamental truth, he starts dealing with the fact that if this wasn't true, then there would be a real problem in preaching the gospel. He says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." In other words, there's no gospel to preach if Christ has not been raised from the dead, and there's been no sacrifice that satisfies God with regard to your sins. "Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished." And when it talks about falling asleep in Christ, it's not talking about the unsaved. It's talking about the saved who have fallen asleep after believing in Christ. But if they have fallen asleep while they're believing in Christ, they have perished. That is, they're gone forever. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most, to be pitied, the most pitiable. In other words, take this away from us and we've got nothing left to preach. We've got nothing left that we can pin our faith on, our hope on. So why would they be the most pitied? Well, because the Christians were being persecuted. This is one reason. And because of the persecution that they're experiencing for the sake of the name of Christ and to spread the gospel, it would be futile to go through that persecution if Christ had not been raised from the dead. And if Christ was not raised from the dead, since he had told them that he would be raised from the dead, it would make Christ a liar. And the truth of Scripture is so important. When we come to the Bible, we have to be able to believe that it is the very Word of God and the prophecies connected with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection are things that give us their proof texts that give us confidence that the Bible is dependable. And so our faith would be futile if Christ was a liar. And yet he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the witnesses who would have lied. And there were people who said that they had seen him who were alive. And 1 Corinthians 15 goes through the number of people that saw the Lord after he had been raised from the dead. And there were over 500 that apparently were still alive at the time that the Corinthian epistle was being written, who had seen the resurrected Lord. And these witnesses, all of them, all of the people who saw him and knew that they had seen the Lord, would have had to have lied. And our faith would be based on sinking sand. It would not be based upon a rock. And as we think of our future, we know that it's because of the Lord, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that we know we have a secure promise of eternal life for eternity. And this is our hope. No matter what happens in this life, we have something. We who are believers have something better to look forward to. The unbeliever only has separation from God, and the Bible calls it hell and the lake of fire. They only have that to look forward to because they have rejected this sacrifice of love that the Lord Jesus Christ has offered the world. But we know that for those of us that are saved, we have a motivation that nobody else has. We look forward to the future. It's going to be great. It's going to be glorious. Christ is going to be on the throne, and we're going to be worshiping him. And that hope, that motivation that we have when we get up in the morning, where we know that, as the psalmist says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore, that motivation would be gone, and we would be living a life of dismal futility if, in fact, Christ had not been raised from the dead. The raising of Christ from the dead is extremely important, and that's why I've noted the words of this song. We stood not by the empty tomb where late thy sacred body lay, nor sat within that upper room, nor met thee in the open way. But we believe, the angel said, why seek the living amongst the dead? And the last verse says, and now that thou dost reign on high, and thence thy waiting people blessed, no ray of glory from the sky does shine upon our wilderness, but we believe thy faithful word and trust in our redeeming Lord. Today, we're not going to be recognizing and remembering a myth. We're going to be recognizing reality. We're going to be recognizing that this Christ who died for us has been raised from the dead, and he is coming again. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who are listening. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation. In our Savior's worthy and precious name, amen.